Would you turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 through 7. And in the Bibles provided there, it's on page 712. Isaiah 55, 6, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Brother Robert Taylor used to say, what a great feast. And I tell you, you folks, know how to do it. So, you've kind of thrown down the gauntlet. And I had a wonderful time in both spiritual fellowship this morning, and then being able to partake of the food that you made possible, and we really thank you, and had to watch, be very careful with that. Hope that if you were not with us today, earlier today, just arriving, you are our honored guests, and we're very thankful to God to be able to be here and to study God's Word together. We have been engaged in a series of studies dealing with the theme of maintaining a biblical worldview, thinking correctly with the Word of God, and this is the intent to wrap this series up. Appreciate the elders and Brother Owens, others in this congregation for inviting me and for our time to spend together. Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that whatever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And so we have every right to go to the Old Testament to glean some principles that would help us in our study of God's Word, that would help us in understanding of God's will, rather, for us, and to make proper application of what God's will is. We realize that the things of the Old Testament are not there for us for obedience in terms of salvation, but every word of God is pure. And all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. By way of background, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 55 is making an urgent plea to the people of Judah. And God wants them to return to the Lord. Throughout the book of Isaiah, you observe the prophet pleading with God's people to return to him. And they need to seek the Lord while they can. The prophet is saying you need to God is going to send judgment upon you because of your transgressions. From a historical context, you go back and you look and observe some things that had happened to the nation of Israel. All the way back to the days of the United Kingdom. And when Solomon had transgressed, and God told him that he would divide the kingdom, but not in his day, but after your death. And of course, we observed the divided kingdom occurred when Rehoboam ascended to the throne, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, set up false worship in the north, and set up those two cities. And the northern kingdom continued down that path of being rebellious to God. And so God, through the prophet Isaiah, is saying to the Jews, you need to repent. You need to return to me while you can. And so he wants them to make sure that they understand clearly that there's an avenue. They need to follow God's way now. Stop going after their own way while they have a chance. He said, because there will there'll come a point where you might want to and you won't be able to. Verses 8 and 9 mention how much greater are the ways of God than the ways of man. And because God's ways are greater than man, he will not put up with Judah's departure from him forever. The prophet Isaiah is indicating that Jehovah God is eventually going to bring judgment upon Judah for her transgressions. Now, and you need to keep in mind that From a historical context, we understand that the northern kingdom would be punished, and they should have, the southern kingdom, Judah, should have learned the lesson of the north, that God brought Assyria down upon them, took away the northern people, destroyed Samaria, and God is saying, in essence, to the southern kingdom, to the southern tribes, to Judah, you need to learn the lesson from the north. Learn the lesson from your sister, and you need to repent and return to me. And so that's the backdrop. And so we want to use that historical lesson. We want to use these principles from the Old Testament to glean some lessons for ourselves, as we said in Romans 15, verse 4, and why we need to make sure that we are being ready for the Lord, and that we need to seek God while we can. And so we look back at Isaiah 55, and number one, the principle that we need to seek the Lord while we can, because there will come a time when, you know, we might not be able to seek him tomorrow. Seek the Lord while you can, because you might not be able to seek him tomorrow. You know, life is unpredictable. We do not know if we will even make it through this service this afternoon. We don't know what the future holds, but we know him who holds the future. We can and we should not, you know, it's all right to make plans in the proper context of making plans. And when we think about it, we need to follow the principle of the New Testament in James chapter 4 and verses 13 through 15 and make our plans in the context of if it is the Lord's will. Remember, James put it this way by inspiration. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. It's all right for us to make plans and to make provisions. There at some point, there was a plan made for this meeting, and things got plugged into a calendar, and that was appropriate. But in all of the cases, the faithful children of God said, if it's the Lord's will. You put some things in place and you understand, if it is the Lord's will, we will accomplish this on that particular date. And we pass by each other on the highways at high speed. We were talking about this at our table at lunch, and how you know, people up and down the highways, and you know, some in one state they've raised the speed limit up to 75. I was talking to a friend of mine who was in a meeting, and he had leaving Houston driving back from Houston to to Austin, talking and explaining to me, said, well, I've hit the part of the highway where now I can drive 75 miles an hour, and I want to get off the phone while I'm enjoying 75. I wanted Don to be off the phone while he's driving 75 to concentrate on that highway. But you know, we pass by people with these high rates of speeds, and I mean, and sometimes on these two-lane highways, and you ever think about when you go past somebody and how close the vehicles are when they are going past those one-lane highways or two-lane highways at high speeds, and you can be, your mirrors can be really just a couple of inches from hitting, and what might happen if those mirrors should intersect? Well, you know, think about that. You know, a mirror mistake can cause a whole lot of damage on the highway, and people are concerned about that. But you know, when you heard about these pilots who had medical emergencies while the plane is in the air. You know, you're sitting back there in the cabin, and we think, you know, the pilots are okay up there, and we're back there drinking our soda. Or if you're like me, I get on the airplane, and before the the people come through and start telling you about the safety things, I'm out. I just go to sleep. You know, just wake me up when the thing lands, if it lands. You know, otherwise, you know. We put a lot of confidence in those folk to get us there. But, you know, we need to be putting more confidence in God. Seek the Lord while we can. That, you know, the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 made the wrong plans. He put his confidence in the wrong place. If you look at Luke chapter 12, if you hold your finger here to Isaiah 55, and you go to Luke chapter 12, beginning to verse number 16, you remember this is, you know, this man, he had planted all these vineyards and things grew and he had a bountiful crop. The Lord had blessed him immensely. And as we said earlier, notice his attitude with regards to his blessings. Luke chapter 12. And then he spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods and laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Just put a mental bookmark right there for a moment. And sometimes you look at that text, just go through and underscore if you don't, or write the verses out on your paper if you have one of those digital ones, cut and paste it to a Microsoft Word or whatever you're using, and just underscore the personal pronouns. Just count up, you know, what he's talking, you know, the I, my, the number of times that is used. You know, this man was planning to live a long time and to enjoy the fruit of what he perceived to be his labor. He's, you know what, I'm going to tear these down. I got to build up bigger and better for myself. Because boy, you know, I'm high on the hog now. But the Bible says, but God said to him, you fool. And when the Holy Spirit uses that word, and when the Holy Spirit calls an individual a fool, you need to step up and take notice. Now today, you know, in the PC world, they would probably, that wouldn't be in somebody's, in some of these newer translations, that's probably taken out. Oh, that's, you can't say that about someone, that might offend them. You can't say that, you can't, how dare you? I don't want to serve a God that would even use such tactless language. Well, we don't worry about the PC police. This is God's word, and so if God says you're silly, you're being stupid, that's what it means. You're not thinking right, man. You have lost your mind. This night, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And here's the point in verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, we need to seek the Lord while we can, because tomorrow is not promised. Jesus is emphasizing here and in other places in the biography of the Lord that we need to, Matthew chapter 6, for instance, treasure up yourselves treasure in heaven. Too many folks are trying to treasure for themselves stuff on the earth. And, you know, people go around talking about my stuff. Get off my stuff. It's my stuff. Well, that's how this man did. And he wasn't seeking the Lord. And so we need to seek the Lord while we can, because tomorrow might not come for us. The Jews need to learn that lesson. Isaiah was saying, you need to seek the Lord now, because you might not be able to seek him in a day in the future. Second, when we go back, and Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while you can, because tomorrow you might not want to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while you can, because tomorrow your disposition might change. You might not even want to be seeking God at all. Now, people who wait to become obedient to the gospel many times never become obedient. It is regrettable that individuals can become hardened to the gospel. One of the saddest passages in the Word of God is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Listen, or follow along even better. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." What a terrible thing to learn that it is possible that someone's conscience could be so fixed that they won't be able to be touched by the gospel. Now, the Greek word that is used here for this has to do with the idea of searing with the hot iron. And it gives the conclusion that the person becomes insensitive to God's word. What a terrible state of mind. That a person becomes insensitive to God's word. In other words, the person gets past the point of feeling. You know, there are some who have reached that point where the word of God cannot prick their heart. They become so hardened that God's word can't penetrate. And that's a sad condition. Seek the Lord while you can, because tomorrow you might not even want to seek him. Because your conscience, your mind, your emotions could be so seared, so severed, that you have no desire for God. In Acts 24, we know the account of Felix. And Felix knew Old Testament law. Felix heard part of it, but now I don't want to, when Paul, while he was in prison, preached to him, he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. Paul gave him what he needed to hear. So in Acts 24, verse 24 and 25, Luke records, "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ," or the gospel. And notice how Paul preached to them. Paul, the Bible says, "And he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come." Just as a side note, you ever wonder why Paul preached that 3-point sermon? He preached to him about righteousness, about self-control, and about judgment to come. Well, here was a man who was living unrighteously, engaged in all kinds of immoral conduct, about needing to control himself and not be licentious, not be lascivious. Paul hit him where he needed to be hit at. And so I was talking with one of the Paul. Listen carefully and say, "You know what? This is what you need." And the Word of God provides everything that we need for life and godliness. But Felix, having heard these things, he said, "Go away. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Secular history does not give us any record that Felix ever found that more convenient time. We won't know until the Lord returns if that is indeed the case. But right now, the evidence says Felix never found it. Seek the Lord while we can, because we might not want to seek him tomorrow. Agrippa, Acts 26, 26 to 28, similar disposition. Both waited to become, they said, "I'll think about being a Christian later on. Not today. I need a more convenient season." The more times a person hears the gospel invitation and they ignore it, they find it easier and easier each time to say no. When a person knows what the truth is and that he ought to obey that, he feels, sometimes individuals start feeling that, I've made it this far. I'll deal with it tomorrow. And we procrastinate and we put it off. And gradually and eventually, they can become hardened to the truth. Some folks just feel so comfortable in what they're doing. And sometimes people, they just say, "I don't need to change because I must be okay because everybody just loves me." We need to make sure that we seek the Lord and we do those things while we can, because I might not want to. And Isaiah is reminding the Jews, and he's trying to use stern language and example, that this is the time to do this. This is the time, Israel, this is the time, Judah, to repent. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Seek the Lord while you can. For the third point, because judgment is coming. Seek the Lord while you can, because judgment is coming. The prophet Isaiah emphasizes this in verse 7. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, we need to seek God further because judgment is coming. Look at verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's plan, God's thinking is far above ours. And we need to return to him. You know, the day that's going to be coming like any other day. Judah, you need to understand that God is going to come in judgment on you, just as he came in judgment on your sister of the north. God is going to punish you. You're not above being punished. Seek the Lord while you can, because a judgment day is coming. You know, there were some Jews who said, they told the prophets, they said, well, God can't do that. When the God told the northern kingdom that he was going to bring the Gentiles, you can't do that. The uncircumcised. When the prophet Jeremiah came to both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, in the first part of the book of Jeremiah, you remember how the prophet Jeremiah warned them, told Israel what was about to befall them. In Jeremiah chapter 2, here's God's pleading against the nation of Israel, against the northern kingdom. And he says in verse 11, has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have change their glory for what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the foundation of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And here is God says to the prophet Jeremiah, to the northern kingdom, he is going to bring judgment upon them. And they're going to have to learn that lesson. Verse 19. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord. And because of that, God is going to punish them. Seek the Lord while you can, because judgment's coming. The prophet Jeremiah emphasized to the Jews, both to Israel and then to Judah ultimately, after the punishment of the north, he emphasized to Judah, he said, look, you didn't get the lesson. So we're going to go into 70 years of captivity. Some of us will never come out. And we might as well realize that we'll die in a foreign land. Seek the Lord while you can, because judgment is coming. We studied that in our lesson before lunch. What manner of people ought we to be in light of the fact that the Lord is going to come? And I didn't make this point at the lunch, at the morning lesson, and I should have. When the Lord returns, we help people to understand when he comes to render judgment, he will never set a foot on the earth. He's coming in judgment not to set up a throne in Jerusalem, not to establish a 1,000-year reign here upon the earth, but he's coming to bring this to an end. And we need to seek the Lord while we can, because when he returns, it will not be to cleanse the earth, but it will be to consummate all things. And we, those who are faithful, will go to heaven, and we will be worshiping throughout eternity in heaven. So we need to be busy getting prepared for the Lord and for that new eternal life. The Hebrew writer says it's appointed a man once to die, and after death, judgment. We look for the faithful in God, we're looking forward to hearing the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your Lord." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of how we have lived in this life. So we need to seek the Lord while we can. You ever talk with someone, an older, or not to be an older person, but individuals who sometimes things occur in their life and they lose the ability of using some of the things they had. They say, you know, don't wait till late. And so to each one of us, we have to seek the Lord while we can and use the Lord, use the abilities that we have. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to see young people obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and for them to use the best parts of their life in serving the Lord. I look around, I saw you had the two young men down here leading the singing with the children. That's wonderful. I remember years ago, Brother Robert Taylor, every gospel meeting he would conduct a meeting. Brother Taylor would come down during the meeting and he would have the kids all, the small kids down. I don't know if any of you ever have been in a meeting with Brother Taylor. Brother Taylor would love to do that, love to sing songs and go through Bible verses with children and just take them through that, because, you know, children are, yes, they're our future, and what we instill in them now will truly, if the Lord lets us live in the on what you plant now, what you sow now will help in the future. And so that was just enjoyable. See, so to those young men who were leading those songs and seeing others who are working, young men and young women engaged in the work of the Lord. And I was listening to people talking about spiritual things. Didn't hear a whole lot of people talking about that FSU. You know, I didn't even know FSU lost last night. Now, side note, truth in preaching. The reason that I did that with the FSU, my family, my children all went to the real school in Tallahassee. The other school in Tallahassee, Florida Agricultural Mechanical University, FAMU. And so FAMU folk, we're not a big fan of that other school. So didn't know they were playing yesterday. By the way, they were in town. Way to go, Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. I almost went to that school, by the way. It was a little bit too intense for me, though. Not only is judgment coming, but we know to a degree when it is coming. You know, we don't know the date or the time, but we know it is coming. We know it's coming at some point in the future. Unannounced. No signals, no early warning signs. So because of that, we need to seek the Lord while we can, because the Lord's not going to give us any kind of advanced notice. So every day we should be seeking Him. We looked at that 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 through 11 already. And you go back and you study Matthew chapter 25. No early warning. You know, Peter says the day of judgment will come as a thief in the night. You know, in view of this fact, and we talked about it, what kind of life ought we to be living in view of the fact that we need to be prepared for judgment at all times. Every day of our life, we need to be ready for either the return of the Lord, or we don't know when death is going to occur for us. We don't know when, you know, we could be doing all the right things and there's somebody out there doing the wrong things, or things just occur. Remember, that's what happened, you know, in Luke 13, the tower fell. That's why Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." There are events that occur where people are doing no wrong, but events occur. Things happen in life. Finally, seek the Lord while we can. Because go back to Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while we can, because the Lord is merciful and he will pardon. Notice again verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, no matter how despicable a person may think himself to be, God is ready to extend mercy and ready to pardon. But note carefully the terms of the pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way. These people who go around trying to tell no matter who it is, the homosexual, tell the crook, the drug dealer, oh, you don't have to stop doing what you're doing. Really? You won't find that anywhere in God's word. God's word, under every dispensation, has been consistent. You want forgiveness, it requires repentance. Change of mind is evidenced by a change in action. You cannot keep doing that which is wrong and expect to receive mercy and pardon from God. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We started with this back on Friday night, looking at Genesis chapter 6. The thoughts of man on evil continue. We need to turn away from those things. And let him return to the Lord. See, God didn't move. We moved from God. And when we do that, God will have mercy. The steadfast love of the Lord continues, as Jeremiah would say in the book of Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 3. God who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, he wants to extend that to us. You know, a little side note, so many times people talk about, oh, I want the love of God. And that's a great thing. But when you study God, and every member of the church should want to be a theologian, I mean in the biblical sense of that word, we each should want to study and learn about God. Theology, the prefix of that word from the Greek word theos, God, the study of God. We want to study about God, his nature. What is the nature of God? I'll say this to make this observation. God, people say, oh yeah, God is love. That's only one part of the nature of God. You cannot talk about the love of God without talking about the mercy of God, without talking about the justice of God, without talking about the wrath of God, without talking about the, you know, so you got to take all of those components. And people don't want, well, you know, I don't want a God who's full of wrath. Well, then you don't want the God of the Bible. You can't have God's love and not understand that there's mercy. Why did Jesus have to die? You know, 1 John chapter 2 says that Jesus is our propitiation. Big word, simply means atoning sacrifice. What did he have to atone for? Or he is the appeasement. Appeasement for what? Well, his death appeased the wrath of God. Because God hates sin. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. God must punish the sinner. If you don't believe that, read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, Gentiles, you're guilty. Romans chapter 2, Jews, you're guilty. Romans chapter 3, everybody's guilty before God. I'm glad it didn't stop right there. But the gift of God comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he pays the price. His blood appeases the wrath of God. But God is going to still destroy. He's going to punish the world. And so right now, his wrath is being held in check by the Son. But the Father's going to say, guess what? Okay, it's over. Here, and he will send the Son, and the Son will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God. Jesus, that avenging angel of Jehovah, who know not God, who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we're thankful for the love of God and the mercy of God. But God, who is just, has to punish the evildoer. God, because of his justice, must punish the wicked. And so we need to seek the Lord while we can, because he is merciful and he will pardon. God extended his mercy to everyone. Paul said through Titus, the grace of God that has appeared to all men, not just to the church, but to all men, teaching us that we would deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And right before that verse, I'm missing one piece. Too much dessert. Yeah, I actually had it. Yeah. I did quote verse 11 correctly. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Great Commission is for everyone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. God, seek the Lord while you can, because he is rich in mercy and he will pardon, but he will only pardon those who comply with his terms. During our lectureship, I heard Brother Gail Sayers Nelson, Ohioan who preaches in Miami, Florida. If you're ever down in Miami, the Miami Gardens congregation, good man, to good congregation and good eldership. Brother Sayers preached for us several times, and Brother Sayers made this observation as he was introducing the Sermon on the Mount with regards to the kingdom, the gospel. You know, God has provided means to make us citizens of the kingdom. Before we become a child of God, we're aliens. And we have to be, to use his term, he said, naturalized. I like it. So, you know, we have to obey the gospel. The only way to become a citizen of the kingdom is to obey the gospel. We have to learn what the steps are to receive the pardon of God. God has laid forth that he provided Israel with how they could be pardoned. He said, "My ways are different than yours." Tells us his ways are different than ours. And we have to follow God's standard of pardon. You know, people today in the world think that what we talk about is old, so old-fashioned. Man, that's just so old school. We need a new message. We need the same message. We need to be seeking God, you know, while we can. I've heard about, you know, this congregation, a number of people have traveled and said, you know, good group of people. And I can see why. Because I see people here, and I listen to you, and that you're people who desire to stick with the book. You go back and you look at Psalm 119. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. We need to have people who really believe that in order to go forward to heaven, we must go backwards to the Bible. Seek the Lord while we can. We're not trying to outrun Jerusalem. We're not trying to outthink the Word of God. I hope that during our lessons this week that we've challenged each other to put more trust in Genesis to Malachi, Matthew through Revelation. The Bible. That we are going to try to think the way God wants us to think. We will set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That we are truly going to strive to seek after the Lord. And that means we have to go to his word, understand what his will is. And as Paul says, we can know what God's will is for us. He has not made it so difficult that we can't know what his will is. But it's so rich that we'll never be able to outthink it. But we can keep searching every day and becoming filled. We'll never go home hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Maybe with us this afternoon, and you realize, you know, I need to seek the Lord today. I've been seeking after, worldly philosophy. I've been seeking after concepts. I've been seeking after money, and I haven't been satisfied. The only satisfaction will come when you are truly surrendering yourself to the will of God, allowing him to fill you by his word and through what he provides in the church. Do you believe in all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, based upon the biblical evidence? John 8, verse 24, Romans 10, 9, and 10. You're willing to repent of your sin. That's a change of mind. That's evidenced by a change of action. Acts 17, verse 30. Luke 13, 5. You're ready to make the good confession that, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10, 10. And submit yourself to water immersion, the only way to come in contact with the blood of Christ, Galatians 3, 26 to 27. Brethren, I already are here to assist you to complete your obedience. If you're a child of God and you've sinned in a public way, rededicate your life. If you sin privately, go to that, between you and God, personally go to that person, tell them your transgressions between you and that person alone, according to New Testament scripture. You just need the prayers of the church. The elders are here ready to assist you and to pray for you as we together stand and as we sing.